paper rustles on a clinic exam table at the University of Tennessee Medical Center in Knoxville. The table is just a few feet long, a perfect size for babies. One-month-old Caden is here for a checkup. It's the baby's first exam since leaving the hospital's newborn intensive care unit. Pediatric nurse practitioner Amber Knapper greets the baby's mom as she starts the exam.
So, do you have any concerns since going home?
I do not, really.
Good, awesome.
Baby Caden is asleep in her car seat with a pink pacifier in her mouth. She's dressed in pink socks, flowery leggings, and a bright yellow polka dot top. She wakes up as she's unbuckled for the exam. Knapper places the baby gently on a scale to check her weight.
I know. This is going to be cold. Have you noticed any tremors, tight muscles?
Tight muscles and tremors. They're among a long list of symptoms connected to neonatal abstinence syndrome, or NAS, a condition affecting some babies who are born in withdrawal from opioids their mothers use during pregnancy. When she was born, Caden weighed 6 pounds 7 ounces and was at risk of NAS. This clinic at the University of Tennessee Medical Center is called High-Risk Obstetrical Consultants, and Knapper is part of an expert team specializing in treating opioid-affected women and babies.
Any spitting up, any gagging?
I think she has spit up maybe 3 times since I've had her.
Any medications that she's on?
Knapper has lots of questions for this mom. She asks about Caden's appetite, breastfeeding, and sleep patterns. This clinic is tracking the baby's progress for a new study on the impacts of NAS.
She had no NAS. She was observed for 3 days because mom was on naltrexone.
Naltrexone is a drug that blocks the high of opioids to prevent relapse after detox.
Not only do we want to see all the babies back that did have NAS and were in the NICU and treated, we also want to see these babies that did not have NAS, and we want to see how well they do. We want to compare. She looks great. I don't feel any tightness. I don't see any tremors.
I know, there it is.
Knapper says the baby still shows no signs of NAS, but she says she wants to keep a close eye on her for the next few years to make sure she develops as she should.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Perfect.
Afterwards, in the exam room, Caden's mom, Callie Relford, says she's grateful her daughter is so healthy.
It's wonderful, really. And still to this day, I feel really good, like physical and health-wise and everything like that. With knowing where I came from and what I was doing to now, it's great.
Rocking the baby in her arms, the 28-year-old recalls her addiction to pain pills.
It was horrible. I had pretty much nothing. I had no roof over my head. I lived outside for, I want to say, maybe 4 years straight. I had no family relationships, no trust, actually no friendships.
She found out she was pregnant and was incarcerated.
When I got there, I was like, I'm not about to have this child in jail. And so that's why, you know, I needed to turn myself around and make sure she was okay and to keep her.
She was almost 6 months pregnant when a jail program sent her to the clinic in Knoxville for prenatal care. Relford says she worried the drug she took would hurt her baby. After going through detox, she started on naltrexone to block her cravings. Detox for pregnant women is safe, says Dr. Craig Towers. He's a physician who specializes in maternal fetal medicine.
There's no data to say that it harms the baby or results in a poor pregnancy outcome.
In the U.S., most obstetricians recommend medically assisted treatment over detox. The current protocol for pregnant women addicted to opioids is to prescribe them maintenance drugs such as methadone, an opioid. That gets them off dangerous street drugs such as heroin and fentanyl, but the treatment itself still carries a risk of NAS. The medical literature doesn't convince Towers detox during pregnancy should always be out of the question. He didn't always feel this way. Towers says in the last few years, he saw a need for more treatment methods after hearing the stories of dozens of desperate pregnant women searching for help with opioid addiction.
And I would tell them, like everyone else, that it's not recommended to taper or detox off of opiates because, in theory, it could cause a stillbirth and harm the baby and lead to poor pregnancy outcome. Well, what I found out was that was based on 2 case reports.
So Towers decided to launch his own studies to test the safety of detox during pregnancy.
All I'm asking for is that women be given the choice.
that view could be considered controversial. In the U.S., detox during pregnancy has long been seen as risky for expectant mothers and infants. One reason is concern over relapse. To help prevent it, Towers Clinic provides continuing care and other outpatient treatment to support women throughout their pregnancies and for at least 6 months to a year after their babies are born. Offering medical, prenatal, pediatrics, and mental health services all in one place is especially critical for this high-risk patient population, he says.
Almost all the women who don't show up to my appointment will call and apologize and reschedule because they don't have a ride.
Lack of transportation is a big problem in East Tennessee, Towers says. The clinic is pushing to make it easier for patients who don't drive to keep their prenatal care appointments and continue their recovery from addiction. The doctor has studied substance abuse in pregnancy since the crack cocaine crisis of the 80s, but Towers says the severity of Appalachia's opioid epidemic is eye-opening.
I was amazed at how many patients I had in our high-risk OB clinic that were addicted to opiates. Much more than I had where I was from previously at that time, which was Wisconsin.
Towers advises his patients it's up to them whether they choose to detox completely or stay on medically assisted treatment during pregnancy. It's important they find a path to recovery and get off street drugs as quickly as possible, he says.
Now, I have probably tapered off and detoxed over 700, maybe over 800, without a loss, knock on wood.
Towers is hoping his results convince the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists that detox during pregnancy is a safe option for many women. He recently published research suggesting developmental delays in some babies exposed to opioids, including both prescription drugs like buprenorphine and methadone, and street drugs like heroin.
Some of them have cognitive problems, some of them have visual dysfunction, and we don't know why some babies don't exhibit that problem and others do.
Towers says the long-term effects of neonatal abstinence syndrome are subject to debate in some corners of the medical community. It could take a decade before researchers fully understand the far-reaching impacts of NAS for babies.
You want to do Vivitrol today?
Yes.
Okay.
Back inside the consulting room, Callie Relford, the mom we met at the beginning of this story, is finished with her daughter's exam. Now it's Relford's turn to check in with substance abuse coordinator Emily Katz. Katz works closely with all of Dr. Towers' patients at risk of delivering babies with NAS before and after they give birth.
No opiates, nothing, no relapses.
No.
All right, I'm gonna grab your blood pressure.
Katz says she looks forward to seeing Relford at the clinic again soon.
I need to make sure you come in every month, every 25 to 28 days.
Okay.
Okay? If you don't come in, I'll come hunt you down. Okay? Nowhere to find you.
You done great.
Thank you.
Clinics like this one in Knoxville that offer both a detox option and medically assisted treatment are hard to find. Some of the women we spoke to for this story say they felt judged by other doctors in the past. Many described being turned away from treatment because they used drugs. And patients travel to the Knoxville clinic from all across the South to get help. Some come from as far away as West Virginia, Georgia, North Carolina, and Alabama. Many more come from small communities across East Tennessee. They're vulnerable, Katz says.
They don't trust anybody. You know, they're embarrassed. And so many times we have heard from them, you're the first person that would listen, or you're the first person that I've told this to.
Katz lost her own brother to an overdose not long ago. She says the clinics taught her relationships are key to preventing relapse among pregnant women struggling with addiction and preventing NAS in their infants. Patients need someone to have their back through recovery, Katz says.
They literally have burned either bridges with everybody or everybody in their family is actively using. So we become like family.